And I feel like I'm speaking the sentiments of the majority of the church here. If not all, I'm going to just assume all. You that need God. While God is moving, just like He was, falling, that would just be an excellent time for you to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't say I'm going to wait for altar service. Hey, you need to move when God moves. Hallelujah. 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 You say, well, I haven't been just right. Then get right and worship God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Well, I thought you had to have altar service. Who said that? Who said that? God's Word don't say that. That's just a traditional thing with us. It's not wrong. It's not sinful. It's all right to do that. But as Paul said, concern the gift, yet show I knew a more excellent way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The best way is to move when God is moving. That's the best time in the world for you to receive what you need from God. Hallelujah. And he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Praise God. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn. Did y'all hear what I said? Lo, we turn. Say it with me. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I'll set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. My text tonight, if we should turn. Would you say it with me? If we should turn. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and pick him up from out of sin, where he has trod. Until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real. Oh, you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. If we should turn. You know, there was a man one time that lived among the tombs. I don't know just exactly all the measures that had been taken to try to tame him and bring him into subjection. I do know from the Word of God there had been some attempt to bind him. All to no avail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say Holy Ghost. Oh, God, help us tonight. Hallelujah. I feel like a leaf in a gale wind. I feel just as helpless. I do. I feel that way every time I come to this pulpit, or any pulpit, to try to preach. I feel so helpless. Unless God comes, we just in a mess. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know all the measures that have been taken to try to bind this man. Brother Donald said he didn't want no rerun. Mm-hmm. How about a premiere tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Pilot sermon. Glory. A lot of efforts, no doubt, have been made. Brother Hanby said they might have called out the fire department. tried to bind him. I don't know all the efforts, all the steps and strategy that had been used. But so far, there had been a force in his life that dominated his every move and his every action. There was something that the man was incarcerated to. There was something that he himself could not find the combination to the lock to unlock the door to his great freedom.
Oh God.
Hallelujah. But the Goodmans used to sing a song. We've got a locksmith up in heaven. He'll send the key right down.
Yes.
Prayer is the key to every problem. That's where the answer's found. Hallelujah. I'm preaching tonight that God's a master locksmith. And no matter what chain has got you yoked and bound tonight, I'm telling you that prayer is the key, and repentance is the key, and turning to God is the key that will unlock. That will unlock and set you free tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Isn't that right, Brother Barry? Wave your arm and say hallelujah. Good to see Brother Barry in church. God bless him. It's always good to see him. Got a smile on his face. Ready to go. Ready to worship. Hallelujah. I like that. Amen. But there's a lot of people that are in the same condition and don't even realize it. Now, when this man first saw Jesus coming, the Bible teaches us that he came running and fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. But then resistance took hold. That spirit rose up. I've seen it so many times in a service where God was dealing with hearts. I've seen conviction. I've seen it on the countenance of people's face. I've seen the witness of conviction that had gripped their hearts. And I saw. And it was very evident that God was moving and turning and searching and had moved in their spirit. But then resistance took hold. And I've seen them immediately begin to talk and laugh and make light things in the house of God to try to turn it off. I want to encourage you tonight that that's one thing you never need to resist. If you need to encourage anything, that's the moving of God in your life. Hallelujah. If you ever feel a twinge of the Holy Ghost, if you would pardon the cliche, if you ever feel just a little spark of the fire of Almighty God moving in your heart, blow that thing, fan that thing, and encourage it. Hallelujah. And pray to God that it will burn with incontrollable rage within your soul. Hallelujah. So that you too can find your way to God as so many others have. Hallelujah. But you see, there is always something. I've talked with people, and I'm not going to hold you long. I've talked with people, and they seem to have the attitude. In fact, they have just come out and said, just like this man did in the synagogue, leave me alone. Mind your own business. You ever had anybody tell you that? I'll do like I want to do. I'm getting tired of all that preaching. A man just overheard me talking to another man on the job one time when I was just a youngster. And he come up to me and cornered me one day and backed me up against the wall. I was just about Steve's age, maybe. Maybe a little younger than he is. I don't know. But I'd just been talking to this man, and he had started the church and was seeking God. But the other man just overheard me. And something I had been saying undoubtedly stung him in the heart. And he backed me up against the wall, and he said, look, I despise you bunch of punk kids always meddling in other people's business. Well, now, he was meddling as far as I was concerned. I hadn't said a word to him. But something got a hold of him. I'm going to preach to you that it was another spirit. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was another spirit. Anytime some spirit or something crosses your soul and causes you to fight against the Word of God, or something that is encouraging you to do good, that's the wrong kind of a spirit. Hallelujah. And you don't need to pay any attention to that. But that man backed me up and he said, if I hear you preaching to Ralph one more time, I'm going to slap you right in the face. Now, he scared me just a little bit, I'll confess. That didn't sound good. I didn't want to be slapped. But there was something burning in my soul. So Ralph come around a little while. This man was down in the next room. I knew he could hear us. And Ralph said, Clay, I wanted to ask you about something. Now, my first impulse was, wait till we get along somewhere. But then something got a hold of me and I didn't care anymore. I said, all right, what is it? And so here we go again. We go off on another sermon escapade. And we just have ourselves a good old time talking about the Lord. The man didn't come in and say a thing then, but he passed me in the hall that afternoon and he said, I'll get you. He said, I'm going to have you fired. I'm going to have your job. I didn't know what he might do. You know, he was he wasn't a foreman, but he was a journeyman painter, and I just an apprentice boy working out there on a job. I didn't know what I might lose my job. But at that point, I didn't care. I saw a man hungry for God, and it just didn't make me any difference. I said, well, I was looking for a job when I got this one. I just kept on walking. I was about as big a smart aleck as he was, really, some way. So, but you know what? God looked in on the scene.
God looked in.
Now, really, really, if that man could be here today, he wouldn't be hollering at me to stop preaching. I believe with all of my heart, if he could be here, he wouldn't be like this man in the sin. God said, let us alone. Let me ask you the next question. If we let you alone, who's going to save you? If we let you alone, who's going to pray for you when you need prayer? Hallelujah. If we let you alone, if we leave this city alone, who's going to reach them with this wonderful truth of God? Hallelujah. If we close up the prayer room, who's going to pray when you're sick and need a touch from God and the doctor shook his head? If we let you alone, you don't really mean that. You just mean leave me alone right now. Because one of these days you're going to want to pray if you know anything about God. One of these days you're going to want Brother Rutledge to pray. And you're going to want Mom and Dad to pray. And you're going to want to hear Brother Jody say, bless him, Lord. And you're going to want to hear the saints of God praying and encouraging you in prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Paul and them said, if lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You judge yourself unworthy of eternal salvation. Lo, we turn unto the Gentiles. I've seen some that have sat in these services from night to night, and it seems like they have just absolutely judged themselves unworthy of eternal salvation. But God help you. God help you. We're not going to turn. I'm just saying if we do turn, if we should turn, let's just suppose a little bit tonight. Let's just suppose that your name was pulled out of the prayer cards. I feel almost like it's a little personal.
Oh, get with it.
Go ahead.
What if we just pulled Bruce's name right out of the prayer card? Mm-hmm. Let's don't pray for Bruce no more.
Oh, God.
Not another prayer. Let's take Chris Yeager's name out. Let's don't pray for him no more. Let's take T.E.'s name out. Let's go pray for him no more. All you other folks that need the Holy Ghost, you that need to rededicate, reconcentrate, and get a hold of God and get in here and push with all your heart. I'm just saying, if we do turn, if we should turn from you, where are you going to find a friend like this bunch of people out yonder? Hallelujah. Where are you going to find a bunch of people that love you when you're down and out? Where are you going to find a bunch of people that will stand by you and will sit up with you day and night? Hallelujah, if need be. I've got to preach you from my heart tonight. I've got to try to reach you. You young fellas out there, I've got to try to reach you. I've got to try to jar you to your senses. If we should turn away from you, suppose Brother Vernon never prayed for Chris anymore. Suppose Marcel never called his name in prayer. Suppose Gerald and Margaret quit praying for Bruce anymore. Come on now. Come on now. Suppose you're just taking off all the prayer lists. How would you like to wake up and face tomorrow knowing that nobody was praying for you? What if you woke up tomorrow and the realization hit you? Nobody really cares. I know the devil tells you that sometimes, but when you face reality, you know Brother Rutledge cares. You know Mom and Dad loves you. You know this church loves you. Yes, you do. Deep down in your heart, you know we love you. If we didn't love you, we wouldn't pray. If we didn't love you, we wouldn't sing anymore. If we didn't love you, we wouldn't preach to you anymore. If we didn't love you, we'd never invite you to come and pray. If we didn't care about you anymore, then we'd let you go on and bust through every roadblock on the highway to hell and run headlong into the pit. But we care. We care. Hallelujah. 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 That's reason we're praying over there every night. Hallelujah. That's reason people are praying at home. That's reason if you could get around the corner sometime, if you could get in the car with Gerald when he's on his way to work, he'd be calling Bruce's name in prayer. God, watch out for my boy. Don't let him get hardened toward the gospel. Amen. And some of you other fellows, I'm preaching to you now. I'm talking to you from my heart tonight because I'm concerned about you and I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the church say, I love you. Hallelujah. And they didn't say it just because I said it, but I'm telling you that they do love you. And you'll never come in contact with any greater love than the love that keeps these people coming to church night after night. Hallelujah. You think it's because our name is on a Sunday school roll? Undeceive yourself. You think it's because we belong to some organization? Most of us don't belong to anything except to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say you're just trying to get people to join your church. No, no, we're not. We're trying to get people to be born in the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Rutledge belongs to the organization, the United Pentecostal Churches. But I don't even belong to that. Or he holds a membership card with him. But I don't even hold that. As far as I know, Brother Herring don't. But you know what? That don't keep me from wanting to come and be in church with Brother Rutledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every chance I get, I stop by his house. I feel a need of being around God's people. Hallelujah. You know why? Because I found something in the house of God that I can't find out there nowhere. I never found anybody out there that loved me like God's people does. Hallelujah. My wife loves me. But she don't love me like God's love does. That's right. I love my baby girl here. But listen, that's not a drop in the bucket compared to the love of God. Hallelujah. And it is the love of God that keeps us coming to the house of God. It's the love of God that keeps us praying for you, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we do turn, if we pulled your name out of the prayer card list, and your name wasn't on the prayer bulletin anymore, you'd feel awful hurt if you were sick and needed prayer and everybody's name was called in prayer except yours. You'd feel bad. Come on now. You would. You'd feel bad. You know why? Because deep down in your heart, you know the value of prayer. And could I tell you something else? Some of you do like you do. And are careless as you are because you are depending on the prayers of this church to see that no real severe harm comes to you. A young man came in from school one day down in Louisiana and he throwed his books into a chair, Brother Rutledge, and he stormed in and he told his mama. He said, Mama, I want you and Alice and all the rest of them to quit praying for me. He said, I can't get my mind on my schoolwork. He said, when I'm at school, I know you're home praying for me. And he said, it's driving me crazy. I'm not ready to live for God. Leave me alone. Quit praying for me. He didn't really mean that. He just meant, give me a little time and give me a little space. Because, sir, you're not planning on being lost. There's coming a time when you're going to want to say, Brother Herring, I'd appreciate it if y'all would remember me when you pray. Brother Rutledge, The doctor said they can't do a thing. Would you mind stopping by the hospital and praying for me? Oh, yes, there's coming a day when you're going to want to hear the songs of Zion again. There's coming a day when you're going to want to hear the name of Jesus called. I want to tell you, sir, you can't get the ecstatic feeling that the Holy Ghost gives to your spirit out there in anything you participate in the world. No, sirree. No, sirree. You just can't find it. I know a young man. Know him personally. His dad stood one day as he started to leave. With tears rolling down that dad's face, he said, "Son, please don't go off drinking tonight." And that boy looked at his gray-haired dad and said, "I'm 21. Mind your own business." We're minding our business. It's my business whether you sin or not. It's your business whether I do or not. That's right. And you don't ever forget that. But that dad looked at that young man. He said, "Son, please listen to me now while I can help you. Because you see, I don't have any money." And that dad broke down and cried. And he said, "After you get in jail, there's nothing I can do. Let me help you while I can help you." And the boy just turned and walked away. He said, "I don't need your advice." And he turned around and walked away. But before the sun set the next day, dad's phone rang and that boy was in jail. And all of a sudden, his dad's business where he was. All of a sudden, his dad's business, how he lived. He said, "Dad, is there any way you can get me out?" Well, the dad didn't have no money. He said, "Son, I talked to you in the yard. I told you, let me help you while I can. Listen to me while I can do you some good. You fellows that just seem bent, you just seem born and determined to smoke cigarettes and dope and everything else. Let me tell you something. Why don't you listen to us before you're laying up in the hospital somewhere eat up with cancer? Why don't you let us plead your cause right now? Why don't you let us plead with you right now? Why don't you listen to us while we can help you? Because I can't cure cancer. There's no way in the world I can cure cancer. If God won't do you mercy and redeem you, that's the whole market you've ever been in. Ready? You the hell up this problem already. You're playing with fire. It's already in the water. Break up. Told Paul, "Go your way, get out of my way, and go your way. And when I have a convenient season, I'll call. Because someday, man, you're paying no bread. Someday, young girl, you're paying no bread. Someday, you're paying no everything great with God."
bold enough to say, take my name off the prayer list?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Leave it alone.
Anybody bold enough to say, don't pray for me anymore?
No.
Stand up and pray.
Oh, no.
You don't want prayer anymore. You don't want to be saved. You have no intentions of being right with God. You have no intentions of ever serving God. Come on, stand up and be counted. If you don't want to be counted in that group, then be counted among those every quarter.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
You can't just keep hanging out here because some spirit is going to reach and grab you and snap you into a pit. And some devil is going to come along and just snap for you. And you're going to find yourself doing the things that you never thought you'd do. And you're going to find yourself saying the things that you never thought you'd say. And you're going to find yourself going the places you never dreamed that you'd go.
People
have been associated with the church. I've been associated with.
Mm-hmm.
And people have planted in and said, I never
knew
that. I know too much about God. You don't know what you're going to do when you're
right.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm pleading with you, sir. Young man, I'm pleading with you. Young woman, I'm pleading with you. Mom, Dad, I'm pleading with you.
Right.
You don't want to quit praying. You don't want to. You may want to be temporarily let alone, but you better let us help you all we can. Because if we find your body in a red car somewhere twisting around a light pole, and the body and the life is going out of the body, and you're laying in the bar, there's nothing more we can do. It's over. It's a closed chapter. There's nothing we can do. I pray it's not going to change your status then. I preach it to you. Let us pray with you now. Let us pray while you can pray.
Yes.
If you overdose on drugs, after being flamboyant about things, just showing that you can keep flirting around with it. I know that spirit that'll make you want to flirt with danger. I've been there. I know what it is. I used to do some stupid things. They had the bridge that's across the Warsaw River in Monroe. When I was just a kid, I didn't have any sense. It's the mercy of God that I'm still alive. I've got up on a little 4-inch rail and walked over the water. Just flirting with danger. Just daring anything to let you fall. I walked across a train bridge about it that went over a road, and it was downhill. It was hill on the shore trying to fail and get that asphalt. I used to get up there just to show out and walk that little plank. 2x4 plank, that's all it was. I used to get up there and just walk and just show the other kids I could. And just know that I wasn't scared of danger. You couldn't hire me. Money couldn't hire me to do that kind of crazy stuff, man. I got better sense. I learned that the adversary was trying to trick me into a situation. Hallelujah. And it may seem unimportant. And it may seem a light thing right now. But I'm preaching to you that the devil is after you. And the thing that makes you flirt with danger and think that you can always keep it at arm's length, I got news for you, honey. You can't. You can't always do that. You keep flirting and leaning that thing, pretty soon it's going to have its tentacles around your spirit and around your heart, and you won't even want to see nobody that pertains to the church. You don't want to be around it no more because your guilty conscience will accuse you and abuse you and tell you that nobody loves you and that nobody cares. I'm trying to reach you now where you do know that we do care and that we do love you. Hallelujah. Let us stand. If we should turn and leave you alone, how would you like it if your prayer never penetrated the ceiling of the prayer room over here anymore? Oh, I know God, but my prayer is pray for me. Brother Harry, pray for me. Remember me when you pray. Brother Tim, pray for me.
That's right.
But look, I'm going to say this in closing. We live in Mississippi. Situation happened there. There was a lady that lived in a home, and she ran a liquor store in Magnolia. And there was a boy that lived in Magnolia that used to party in the home. So they stopped by this woman's liquor store one night and bought a bunch of beer and booze and stuff. And they went over to McComb to party. The woman closed up her liquor store in Magnolia that night and started to McComb, but she met a car heading on around the curve, a bunch of drunk kids, and killed her and two of the kids. It was the same kid that she had sold liquor to just a few hours ago. Because one of the boys told her, said, "My, we bought that beer just 4 hours ago from her. She sold it to them. Now, if she'd have known what was fixing to happen, that she was going to meet them on the curb, you could not, for no price would she have sold it to her. There would have been a price on it. It's not for sale. But she didn't know. If them boys had a known, if them boys had a known, if they'd have just known. A young man told my brother-in-law out in California. He said, "Look, I'd like to serve God, but not now. Just give me 15 years. This is on the way home. My brother-in-law rode with him to work every day. Or they swapped up. One of them drove the car 1 week, the other drive his next. So this is on about Tuesday, I believe. This young man's supposed to drive his car all week. So brother-in-law coming in that evening, they got to talk to him about the Lord. He talked to him on different occasions about serving God. And this young man looked at my brother-in-law and said, "Just give me 15 years and I'll be ready to get in church and live right." He didn't know he didn't have 15 hours, hardly. The next morning, my brother-in-law got up and told my sister, said, "I don't feel like driving that boy this morning, said I'm carrying my own car." And he took his own car, called this young man, said, "I'll meet you over at the job, said I'm going to drive my own car today." He drove his car, and on the way to work, he found this young man laying out on the highway. He lost control of his car and hit a pillar under a bridge. That same young man, just a few hours before, Brother Harry, had said, "Give me 15 years and I'll be ready to serve God." He hardly had 15 hours, but he didn't know that. He didn't really mean leave me alone. He didn't really mean don't pray for me. He didn't really mean I'm not going to serve God. And that's not what you mean either. I know that. And deep down in your heart, you know that. I'm talking to you like I am tonight because you're my friend. But I want you to be more than a friend. I want you to be my brother in the Lord. I want you to be a child of God more than I want you to be anything else. Who feels in need of God right now? Who would be daring enough to say, "I'm going to break away from all the things. I'm not worth me anymore. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God." You'll step out right now. Come on. You that need God. You that are praying, seeking God. You ought to already be on your way. Down here to pray. Yeah. You're ready. The only way down here to pray. And oh, he looks down from the sky and brushes those tears from your eyes. You're his child and he cares for you. If you find somebody that'll love you better than these folks will, show me where they're at. If you found somebody that you found in the world, tell me it. Come on out. You have, I don't know where you know. Why don't you come to church?